Friends and readers at the Palestine Chronicle, this week's special episode of the Floodgate podcast will feature the full speech of our editor-in-chief, Gaza-born intellectual Dr. Ramzi Baroud, at the final session of the Gaza Tribunal, which was held in Istanbul from November 23 to the 26th. The Gaza Tribunal is an international civil society initiative composed of jurists, academics, and human rights advocates, which concluded in its final verdict that Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. In his expert witness testimony, entitled Gaza's Resistance Within Its Historical and Political Context, Baroud called Gaza a test of global morality and urged the world to sustain solidarity with Palestinians until their freedom is achieved. Make sure to watch the 16 minutes address and do not forget to subscribe, share, like, and interact with our content. Thank you for your continued support.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the kind invitation, but also thank you for all the incredible work each one of you has done for Gaza in the last 2 years. Gaza has proved to be the litmus test of humanity, of morality, of civil society, of international law. If it were not for you as a representation of civil society globally, if it were not for you, Gazans would have been the only line of defense against Zionism, against colonialism, and against genocide. You made it possible by creating another line of defense for the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are not only grateful, but they are also hoping that this movement that was created against the genocide in Gaza will not be a temporary movement that will be dismantled with the assumption that the genocide is over. The genocide is not over. It manifests itself in so many different ways, and the very reasons and the historical context that created or led to the genocide in the first place is still there and will be there until Palestine and the Palestinian people are free. So please don't stop speaking out. Don't stop rallying, don't stop centering Palestinian voices, and don't stop creating the momentum that is forcing Zionism as the racist ideology that created Israel from imploding. You are making this happen, and again, Gaza is at the front line of this struggle, not just for the sake of Gaza and Palestine, but for the sake of humanity at large. I was born and raised in a refugee camp in Gaza called Nusayrat. You must have heard so much about Nusayrat in the last 2 years. Unfortunately, much of what you must have heard is affiliated with massacres in Nusayrat. Many of my family members were killed in Gaza, over 110 people as of last year. I stopped counting because there was no point of counting, and because all of Gaza is my family, and I think this is something that is shared by Gazans as well, and Palestinians as a whole. We are all one family, and the loss of every family is my personal loss as well. I grew up in a family that was made of a father who was a former freedom fighter, although I believe that my father was a freedom fighter as much as my mother was a freedom fighter, despite the fact that freedom fighting did not necessarily always take place carrying Kalashnikov. They fought for survival, they fought for existence, they fought for their identity, they fought for self-assertion, they fought for their culture, they fought for their religion, they fought for their history, they fought for the prosperity of their family and for their children, and that, by definition, makes every Palestinian in Gaza a freedom fighter, and every Palestinian who is standing up to colonialism and military occupation. One time, I believe it was just before the first Intifada of 1987, I think I was about 10, 11 years old. I saw an Israeli jeep speeding through the refugee camp. And they were going at an exceptionally high speed. And then after that, I saw two Palestinians. They were masked and they were running at very high speed as well, hiding in the graveyard. We call the martyrs' graveyard in the center of Gaza. Those from Gaza know what I'm talking about. And I asked my dad who these people are. He said they are members of the Islamic Jihad. That was a time before Hamas itself was created. There was no such Hamas to be used as the example of so-called Palestinian militancy, terrorism, and supposedly bad political decisions. Gaza during that time, or armed resistance in Gaza during that time, was controlled largely by two major groups, the socialists, the PFLP in particular, and the Islamic Jihad. Prior to that, we had the Palestine Liberation Army that was part of the PLO, and Palestinians were fighting back then. If you look at the history of Gaza, you are gonna find a history of resistance. Cultural resistance, popular resistance, but also armed resistance. One thing, and I'm here speaking as an intellectual, if we are to have an honest conversation about Palestine, we are to get in serious trouble, especially in the West. The sensibilities of Western society cannot cope with the idea that Palestinians have utilized and used armed resistance since the Nakba, the catastrophic destruction of historic Palestine. It's not something that we are ashamed of. It's not something that we should hide or need to hide. But we live in a very toxic academic and media and political environment that the mere recognition of the fact that Palestinians have used arms to resist has been such a liability that people are just scared to say it. So if I am standing to debate the issue at Harvard or MIT or Oxford or anywhere, I have to find a way to zigzag around the idea of armed resistance. I replace the word resistance with resilience so I'm not misunderstood. I emphasize popular resistance, but I don't talk about armed resistance. Some of you already speak Arabic, but I'm going to teach you a few words here just as a refresher course. One is the word muqawama. Muqawama means resistance. But muqawama for us Palestinians has a different cultural connotations than the word muqawama in Western platforms, Western academia, Western mainstream society. For them, the word resistance could be a bad thing, as in terrorism, or could be a subject that is open for interpretation. As Palestinian culture, history, and struggle is like going to the market, buying cucumbers and not buying tomatoes. I like Palestinian non-violent resistance. I don't like the violent resistance. I like peaceful resistance, but I don't like this other form of resistance. Well, let me tell you some maybe bad news for some of you. In our culture, there is no distinction between the forms of resistance. For us, it's only called muqawama, and we express that in so many different manifestations. We're not shying away from it, and we are not hiding it. And the reason is that if we do, we are denying not only a fundamental right of our people as a liberation movement fighting for its own survival, but also freedom and justice, but we are also being dishonest about Palestinian history. You see, the problem for Israel is not the armed resistance of the Palestinians. The Israelis have understood something that many of us, especially in the West and so-called progressives in the West, still don't understand. Israel understands. Israel knows that resistance in Palestinian society is not just about arms. When they come and say, Palestinians should give up their weapons or hand over their weapons. What weapons? How many tanks do we have? How many fighter jets? How do you even count what are the weapons that are being given and what are the weapons that are still in the tunnels? Most of the weapons that are being manufactured in Gaza right now are being repurposed from the unexploded armaments thrown by the Israelis at the Palestinian population in Gaza. If you want us to give away our weapons, if you want the Palestinians to give away their weapons, stop lopping your bombs and your missiles or the Palestinian population in the first place, because there would be no weapons to be repurposed. So the issue here is not about the legitimacy or lack thereof of Palestinian weapons and Palestinian resistance, it's a diversion from the main issue. What pushes Palestinians to resist in the first place? Take away from us the reason that makes us resist, and we will not resist. And when we resist, do please try to understand that we do not cater our resistance to your sensibility. We resist because nobody came to our rescue. As a child, I was told, my father was a communist, but who was also an Arab nationalist. And he told us, like many men in his generation, that the Arabs will be coming to liberate Palestine. The Arabs are coming. So as children, we thought it's just a matter of time before the Arabs show up. And nobody showed up. I actually do remember one time, taxi drivers in Gaza, because you know, you have to feel bad for these guys, are going around in a circle in this tiny little place. So they start spreading rumors just because they are bored, I guess. And one time the rumor was that the Algerians are coming, and they are coming via the sea. As children, we all rushed. It was during the first Palestinian Intifada. Again, we were being shot and killed for simple protesting the Israeli occupation. We were desperate for an outside help. We went to the beach and we waited. And we waited until sunset. We saw absolutely nothing in the horizon but the Israeli Navy ships. No Algerians came, no Egyptians came, no Jordanians, no Iraqis, no anything. So this generation of Gazans is different than our generation. My generation, that of the first Intifada, we learned the alphabets of self-assertion. We went to the streets and we threw rocks at the Israeli army. I wasn't very good at it, but the idea is that we needed to assert ourselves, that we have agency. We are a people who are capable of speaking for ourselves. We cannot marginalize, and even though we have been betrayed by our Arab brethren, we are capable of rising and taking a moral stance. And we did. But this generation is even tougher than our generations. They took that realization to a whole new level. Nobody is coming for your liberation. As Che Guevara has said it before, there are no liberators. The people liberate themselves. So the Palestinian people have been in an active process of self-liberation. Do not blame the Palestinians for taking that moral stance after 77 years of complete marginalization and betrayal and international conspiracy by the US, Israel, Zionism, and the whole Western Bloc to, in the words of Jared Kushner, for the Palestinians, they can only have one option and one option only, to put up or to shut up. Well, we neither put up nor do we shut up. And that's why what happened in Gaza happened. It was the outcome of our own failure. So don't blame the resistance for our own failure. And don't put the Palestinians once again in the corner to self-justify and to explain and to apologize for not behaving that the good victims that we needed to behave. And those who are expecting Gaza to be good victims, you know nothing about Gaza. You know absolutely nothing about Gaza. 1948, the Palestinian Nakba. You have hundreds of thousands of people being pushed out of historic Palestine. 250,000 or so of them came to Gaza. Within days, they formed groups called the Fida'iyin. That's before ideology. That's before politics. That's before Hamas, Fatah, and clashes and disunity. The Fida'iyin were peasants. They were fallahin. My uncle was a member of the Fida'iyin. And all they did is that they tried to go back to their villages in southern Palestine to reclaim the crops that they harvested but they did not collect, or the money or the gold left of their wives in their homes after they were expelled from these homes. That was the Fida'iyin movement that evolved over the years, but there has been no time in history in which Gaza did not resist, in which Gaza put up or shut up. It never happened, and it will not happen. And the reason that I have always been saying that Gaza is the center of Palestinian history, is the core of Palestinian history. Gaza is very small, 360 square kilometers, about 180 square miles. And yeah, we talk about the natural gas at the Mediterranean Sea, but it's not like Gaza had these natural resources that Israel, if Israel wants to exploit the gas, they would have done so with or without Palestinian permission. What makes Gaza special is not its territory or its gas or its natural resources. It's the people of Gaza. It's the people of Gaza. And this is why Israel has invested not in destroying the resistance, because they know that there's no way they could have done that. They invested in ethnically cleansing the Palestinian people out of Gaza, because you remove the Palestinians of Gaza, you remove the heart of resistance from Palestinian society. The fact that we are still there, the fact that the people are still there, even though they are sitting on the ruins of Gaza, the ruins of everything, the mosque and the church and the school and the university and the home and the kindergarten and the art gallery and everything in Gaza, the fact that they continue to do so, it means that the Palestinian people, the heart of Palestinian resistance is still beating. And the fact that it's still beating means that resistance in Palestine would remain alive. Yeah, feel bad for the Palestinian victims, feel bad for the innocent children who were pulverized along with their families. Thousands of them are still under the rubble. Feel bad, because we are human and you should feel bad. But don't think for a minute that resistance in Palestine will stop under any circumstance. Thank you.